Thank God.
Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto entitled Creation, chapter number 16. How Parikshit received the age of Kali. Text number 13, 14 and 15. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. First verse, right? Tatra Tatra Pashranvanaha Swapurvesham Mahatmanam Pragiyamanam Cha Yashaha Krishna Mahatmya Suchakam Tatra Tatra Pashrunvanaha Swapurvesham Mahatmanam Pragiyamanam Cha Yashaha Krishna Mahatmya Suchakam Tatra Tatra Pashrunvanaha Swapurvesham Mahatmanam Pragiyamanam Cha Yashaha Krishna Mahatmya Suchakam Tatra Tatra Pashrunvanaha Swapurvesham Mahatmanam Pragiyamanam Cha Yashaha Krishna Mahatmya Suchakam. Pragiyamanam Cha Yashaha Krishna Mahatmya Suchakam Tatra Tatra Pashrunvana Sarvesham Mahatmana కృష్ణ మహాత్మ్య సూచకం తత్ర తత్రోపశృణ్వాన సపూర్వేశ మహాత్మనా ప్రగీయమానం చ యశః కృష్ణ మహాత్మ్య సూచకం. మాతాజీ యశః కృష్ణ మహాత్మ్య సూచకం తత్ర తత్రోపశృణ్వాన సపూర్వేషాం మహాత్మనాం ప్రగీయమానం చ యశః. తత్ర తత్ర, లెట్ మీ రీడ్ ద అదర్ వర్సెస్. ఆత్మానం చ పరిత్రాతం అశ్వత్థామ్నో స్రతేజస స్నేహం చ వృష్ణిపార్థానాం తేషాం భక్తిం చ కేశవే తేభ్యా పరమ సంతుష్టః ప్రత్యుజృంభీతలోచన మహాధనాని వాసాంసి దదౌ హారాన్ మహామనా. ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. తత్ర తత్ర, ఎవ్రీవేర్ ద కింగ్ విజిటెడ్. ఉపశృణ్వానః, కంటిన్యూస్లీ హీ హర్డ్. స్వపూర్వేషాం, అబౌట్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఫోర్ ఫాదర్స్. మహా ఆత్మాన్ ఆత్మనాం, హూ వర్ ఆల్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. ప్రగీయమాణం అంటూ దోస్ హూ వర్ దస్ అడ్రెసింగ్. చ ఆల్సో యశః, గ్లోరీస్ కృష్ణ, లార్డ్ కృష్ణ. మహాత్మ్య, గ్లోరియస్ యాక్ట్స్. సూచకం, ఇండికేటింగ్. Should I continue reading that word to word? ఆత్మానం, హిస్ పర్సనల్ సెల్ఫ్. చ ఆల్సో పరిత్రాతం, delivered. Ashwatthamna, of Ashwatthama. Astra, weapon. Tejasa, powerful rays. Sneham, affection. Cha, also. Vrushnipaarthanam, between descendants of Vrushni and those of Pritha. Tesham, of all of them. Bhaktim, devotion. Cha, also. Keshave, unto Lord Krishna. Tebhya, unto them. Parama, extremely. Santushtaha, pleased. Preeti, attraction. Ujrambhita, pleasingly open. Lochanaha, one who has such eyes. Mahadhanani, valuable riches. Vasamsi, clothing. Dadau, gave in charity. Haran, necklace. Mahamanaha, one who has a broader outlook. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The translation: wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers, who were all devotees of the Lord, and also of the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. He also heard how he himself had been protected by the Lord from the powerful heat of the weapon of Ashwatthama. People also mentioned the great affection between the descendants of Vrishni and Pritha due to latter's great devotion to Lord Keshava. The king, being very pleased with the singers and such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to award them very valuable necklaces and clothing, purported by Srila Prabhupada. Kings and great personalities of the state are presented with welcome addresses. This is a system from time immemorial, and Maharaj Parikshit, since he was one of the well-known emperors of the world, was also presented with addresses of welcome in all parts of the world as he visited those places. The subject matter of those welcome addresses was Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his eternal devotees, as the king means the king and his confidential associates. Krishna and his unalloyed devotees cannot be separated, and therefore glorifying the devotee means glorifying the Lord, and vice versa. Maharaj Parikshit would not have been glad to hear about the glories of his forefathers like Maharaj Yudhishthir and Arjuna had they not been connected with the acts of Lord Krishna. The Lord descends specifically to deliver his devotees, paritranaya sadhunam. The devotees are glorified by the presence of the Lord because they cannot live for a moment without the presence of the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is present for the devotee by his acts and glories, and therefore Maharaj Parikshit felt the presence of the Lord when he was glorified by his acts, especially when he was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother. The devotees of the Lord are never in danger, but in the material world, which is full of dangers at every step, the devotees are apparently placed into dangerous positions, and when they are saved by the Lord is glorified. Lord Krishna would not have been glorified as the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita had his devotees like the Pandavas not been entangled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All such acts of the Lord were mentioned in the addresses of welcome, and Maharaj Parikshit, in full satisfaction, rewarded those who presented such addresses. The difference between the presentation of welcome addresses today and in those days is that formerly the welcome addresses were presented to a person like Maharaj Parikshit. The welcome addresses were full of facts and figures, and those who presented such addresses were sufficiently rewarded. Whereas in the present days, the welcome addresses are presented not always with factual statements, but to please the post holder. And often they are full of flattering lies. And rarely are those who present such welcome addresses rewarded by the poor receiver. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Adnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. the devotees of the Lord are never in danger, but in the material world, which is full of dangers. At every step, the devotees are apparently placed into dangerous positions, and when they are saved by Lord, the Lord is glorified. This material world, the way it is designed, it is meant for those who have rebelled against Krishna, those who don't want to serve Krishna, those who want to only satisfy their own senses, those who want to be God, those who want to be treated like God. They are sent to this material world. And just like Abhimanyu entered the Chakravyuha, he knew only the way inside, how to go in, but he did not know how to come out. He had heard when he was in the womb of his mother, Subhadra, when his father, Arjuna, was telling Subhadra different tactics, he was explaining how to enter the arrangement of army in the form of a wheel, that is Chakravyuha. And in the womb of the mother, Abhimanyu was listening. So he heard up to the time the mother was awake and attentive. So he heard only the part how to enter inside. And then seeing Subhadra asleep, Arjuna also stopped telling, thinking that what's the point of telling all these details. But because she was asleep. So Abhimanyu only knew that much. So he could only enter inside the Chakravyuha. The same way a living entity foolishly goes inside this Chakravyuha of this material world. The material world is designed in such a way that when a living entity enters, then the previous doors are closed. You just keep going to the next body, and there is no guarantee as such how and by what power you will come out of this very complicated connection, complicated cycle of birth and death. It is practically impossible unless someone gets help from outside. Srila Prabhupada mentions that a living entity is always under control of either Krishna or Maya. Srila Prabhupada mentions the living entity has a choice to remain under the sweet control of Krishna or harsh control of Maya. So one example is, sometimes a mother may chastise the child who is playing in the mud and dirt. The mother may say that, "Don't come close to me, you dirty. Get out." She may give a spank to the child. The child may start to cry. But the only shelter the child knows is his mother. So I have noticed this many, many times, if not personally. But definitely the child runs towards the mother, the very mother who is the cause of so-called calamity, the very mother who is giving spanks to the child. The child doesn't know of any other shelter. So the same way the pure devotees of Krishna, they don't know of any other shelter than Krishna. So even though they may be apparently put into a dangerous situation, but the devotee knows only one shelter, that is Krishna. So even in such calamity situation, the child runs to the mother even though he is crying, and knowing that the mother itself, she is the one who is causing all the misery. But the child knows that the mother is not like that. It's just one little form. Maybe I did something wrong. So it's a temporary situation which is going to be resolved very soon. And very soon my mother will be again calm, and then she will feed me nicely. Knowing this, even devotees understand that maybe because of my karma, or maybe because Krishna wants to teach me something, or maybe Krishna has a different plan altogether, which I cannot see by my material intelligence, the devotee still keeps going, even though being in the difficult situation. But the devotee does not take shelter of Maya. That is very important. In any case, devotees are always accepting shelter from Krishna. Because Srila Prabhupada mentions, the shelter of Krishna is sweet, but the shelter of Maya is harsh. The example is, if a criminal is caught, then the policemen are not going to give him a little spank. They're not going to say that, oh, you naughty boy. They're not going to say that. They're going to take the stick and they're going to beat that criminal to pulp. Especially if you happen to be in India. Then they're going to not ask you any question. Before you open the mouth, they're going to first beat you. So the point is that this is how the material energy works. The material energy is very harsh. Prakshapatmika. You know, kicking potency of Krishna. At the same time, she allures and then she kicks. So the devotee understands the nature of the material world. And that's why he doesn't take any other shelter. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in all times, every moment, a living entity is under control. The living entity has no control as such. The living entity is only sitting on a material body. And foolishly may think that I am the one operating, I am the one doing everything. Yantra rudhani mayaya. Only the living entity is given a material body. And actually everything is happening by the superior control. We are completely under control and under supervision. But sometimes, you know, foolish living entities, materialistic people, they think they are doing everything, they are in control. Sometimes a living entity may go to the foolish most extent of thinking they are God. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that you are constantly under control. You are anyways dependent, whether you want to depend on Krishna or you want to depend on material energy, Maya. That is your choice. But the dependence is not a choice. The dependence is constantly there. Just like a child may sit on the lap of the father, the father who is driving a car, and the child is sitting on the lap, the father is saying, oh, try to drive the car. And the child, with his tiny little hands, may put his hands on the wheel, the steering wheel, and may think that, oh, the red light, the car stopped, I am stopping the car. The child may think that, oh, now I am taking the right turn, I am taking a left turn, I am going so fast. That is the child's foolish mentality, who thinks that he is doing it. But actually, who is doing it? The father. He is the driving. He is the driver. The child may foolishly think that he is the one who is driving. So the same way, the living entities are constantly under control. The only thing that is in our own hands is the desire. What type of desire we have? That is in our hands. And based on the desire and what we deserve, we get different fruits. So this is how the material world has been organized. And many times we see that living entities, they engage in different activities. And those activities are mostly selfish. They want to satisfy their own senses. Because that's the very basic reason we have come in this world. The very reason a living entity has come in the material world is to exploit the senses and try to enjoy and try to satisfy the mentality that I am the enjoyer. So that's why the living entities are constantly engaged into that. And different living entities like to blabber. Like everyone likes to speak something and they like to blabber all the time. But ultimately, all the blabbering, all the speaking of so much words of the materialistic people, ultimately they can be summarized into just one sentence, and that is, I am God. Ultimately that's what they're saying, that I am God. And living entities like to hear. Every one of us, we like to hear something. All the different things that we hear, they all can be summarized into just one sentence, that I am God. Tell me that I am God. If you tell me that I am God, then you are my friend. If you don't tell me that I am God, if you don't tell me that, then I am going to consider you as my enemy. You are envious of me. So that's the basic idea of the material world, how the living entities have been put to work. Srila Prabhupada mentions that just like a field which is very dry in the summer season, and then the monsoon season, like right now monsoon season is going on in India. So much rains, and because of the rains, the entire field becomes all green. There are so many birds, so many different tiny insects and different animals. They are activated and appears like a completely different field as it looked in the summer season. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that just like that, by the three modes of material nature, the material world is activated by the three gunas. By the three modes of material nature, all the living entities are put to work. So you see in the morning time, many trucks are going here and there. Many people honking, you know. People who are, many, you know, kids going to the school. Many people are going for a jog or a walk. And different people going to the work, they're, you know, clogging the streets and everything. But still, ultimately, who is doing it ultimately? Because of the three modes of material nature, the living entities are being put into different type of activities. And they are foolishly thinking that they are ultimately doing the activity. They are the doer. But the devotees of Krishna, like Parikshit Maharaj, we see in this world, in this verse that we read, he is, wherever he is going, he doesn't want to hear that I am God. Not that he doesn't even expect that somebody should give him huge amount of respect or someone should treat him in a certain way, even though he is the emperor, he is the king of the entire earth. Even though when he is traveling to different places, he is being welcomed and he is offered a different address. It's like praises. The praises are about his forefathers. Parikshit Maharaj loves those praises not because they are belonging to his forefathers, not because they are the praises of the forefather, but because those praises mean glories of Krishna, because the forefathers are Krishna's devotees. So that's the point. Because many of the materialistic people also like to take so much pleasure in speaking about what their forefathers have done. Like many times you must have heard that, oh, this company was started by my great-grandfather. And then my grandfather did this, then my father did that, and now I'm going to do whatever. So we hear this, and even someone very common person also likes to talk, my father did this, my grandfather did that. You know, he was a teacher, he was this, he was that, he did this, that. People like to engage in such type of talks because they are in the material consciousness. So that's why they think that the body is themselves. And that's why they think that my father, because they are thinking in the terms of the body. On the other hand, Parikshit Maharaj is not in that consciousness. That needs to be understood very carefully. Parikshit Maharaj, he is only listening and taking so much pleasure listening to the glories of his forefathers like Arjuna, Yudhishthir, Bhima, and his grandmother like Draupadi and Subhadra, or his father Abhimanyu, or mother Uttara. Parikshit Maharaj is only listening that because they are connected to Krishna. Just like Kunti Maharani says, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Drudam Vrishnishu Pandushu. Now someone may ask that why Kunti Maharani is saying that, Krishna, please cut off my ties with the families of Pandu and the descendants of Vrishni, because they are devotees. So why Kunti Maharani is praying that let me not depend on My sons, let me not depend on the Yadavas for my protection. Let my mind constantly seek shelter from you, O my Lord Krishna. Why is she saying like that? Because they are devotees, right? So actually, the meaning, and Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the real meaning is that let my shelter come from you. It may come from other sources, but you are the supreme shelter. Let me not forget that. Let me not think of the Pandavas as my sons and they are the ones going to protect me. Ultimately, the shelter comes from Krishna. So whatever is the material aspect, the material attachment that I have for my sons or the descendants of the Yadus, let that material attachment be cut off. And the spiritual attachment is always going to be there. The spiritual affection is going to be there. The devotees always have to have the affection. Actually, Krishna delights the most when there is sweet, loving relationships between his devotees. Just like a father delights when the children are cooperating. So, Kunti Maharani is praying in that sense. When we see the different forefathers of Parikshit Maharaj, what a great lineage, what a great heritage. You know, his grandfather Arjuna, he constantly surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna didn't ask for some simple surrender. Like sometimes now it's Janmashtami time, Rathayatra time. So sometimes, you know, devotees ask for donation. They may ask, can you give $101? You know, you earn so much. Give some little part of your income to Krishna for the service of Krishna and his devotees. So such type of tiny surrender is sought from us. But when Krishna was expecting surrender from Arjuna, that was a huge surrender. He's asking that you surrender unto me and fight with your own family members. That was a very difficult task. So when someone asks us for a little bit of donation or a little bit of time for service, then we should be happy that someone is asking us. That means Krishna is engaging someone to ask us. Krishna still cares for us. So we should be happily giving different donations or at least giving our time for service, thinking that Krishna cares for me. That's why he's sending this devotee for my benefit. It's not that Krishna needs some $100 bill. Krishna doesn't need, nor Krishna's devotees need any type of money, because they are always provided with everything that is needed. But Arjuna's surrender is so great that Krishna always put him into difficult situations. But Arjuna's greatness is in surrendering. Krishna, I am completely surrendered unto you. I will do as you say. So that is Arjuna's greatness. At the time when Bhishma was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to be fought. At that time, Krishna said, we will put Shikhandi in the middle. Then Bhishma won't do anything. Arjuna said, that is ridiculous. How can we do that? Krishna, how can you suggest something like that? Krishna is saying, there is no other way. In first 9 days, like half of the army has been wiped out. We have to do this. So there is, you know, so much of conflict between Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna is saying, no Krishna, please, let us not do that. But then Krishna said, there is no way. But ultimately Arjuna surrenders. He says, your way is the best way. When Karna was off his chariot, Krishna said to Arjuna, cut his head right now. So Arjuna said, How can you give me such instruction? It's completely out of, this is not a good conduct. But then Krishna knows the weak points of his devotees. Like Krishna knows the weaknesses, weak points of all of us. Krishna says, where was the morality of Karna when all these different generals of Kauravas, they teamed up, they ganged up, and Abhimanyu was also not on the chariot. That time they attack. So Arjuna's blood was boiling. Yes, I'm going to kill them all now. So that was, Krishna knows different tactics. So Arjuna constantly surrendered. When Ashwatthama, when the war is over, almost everyone was killed. That time Ashwatthama sneaked into the camp of the Pandavas and he killed the 5 sons of Draupadi. That's a very painful chapter in Bhagavatam. And Draupadi is completely shattered. She is, crying like anything. Because all her, only 5 sons, and all of them were killed in one night when they were in sleep. Ashwatthama ruthlessly slaughtered them. So that time, we know how Krishna actually was telling that, kill this rascal because he doesn't deserve to live. But still, Draupadi shows compassion. And later on, we know that actually before that, Ashwatthama had sent a Brahmastra. When the nuclear weapon was released by Ashwatthama, Arjuna, without even trying to counteract or thinking what to do, he surrenders to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Mahabahu, Bhaktanam Abhayankara. That is Arjuna's prayer, that immediately he surrenders to Krishna. That is the great quality of the great devotees. They constantly surrender to Krishna immediately. Krishna, you are my only shelter. There is no other shelter that I have. Please protect me. So when Krishna told Arjuna how to counteract that Brahmastra, later on, Krishna stayed in Hastinapur for a few days. And when Krishna was about to leave to Dwarka, Krishna was on the chariot. What Krishna saw, Uttara was running towards Krishna for protection. And Uttara was praying wholeheartedly, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyam Twadabhayam Pashe Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. So that is Uttara, that is the mother of Parikshit Maharaj. So this is the great lineage, this is the great fortune that he has. Parikshit Maharaj has the mother who ran towards Krishna for protection when she saw an arrow coming towards her. That was Brahmastra. Now, why she is glorified so much? Because she ran to Krishna when there were great, her father-in-laws. Like Arjuna, who had just counteracted one Brahmastra and second was coming. So she could have ran to Arjuna saying that, my dear father, now just do this also. Uttara ran to Krishna amongst all the great warriors. That means she is such a great devotee that she knows that ultimate surrender, the ultimate shelter can be provided only by Krishna. That she didn't want to depend on anyone else. She knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can only protect me. That's why she ran towards Krishna. So in this regard, it is said that all the living entities have direct relationship with Krishna. And that is the permanent relationship. We are exclusively dependent on Krishna. And then we are mutually dependent on each other. Just like a newly married girl, she finds so many different relationships, right? Like she finds a mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, this law, that law. So many different relationships come into existence right at the time of marriage when her relationship is established with her husband. But that doesn't mean that the other relationships are independent. The other relationships exist because of her relationship with the husband. The same way all the living entities have the real relationship with Krishna. And because of that relationship, we have other relationships. Then we have devotees' relationships. We have different relationships with different devotees. So, we should understand that Parikshit Maharaj is setting an example how he is delighting in hearing the glories of Krishna. Because he knows that glories of my forefathers or even the glories of me, they are also connected to Krishna. Because when Parikshit Maharaj was in the womb, that time that Brahmastra came, Uttara ran to Krishna for protection. So Krishna covered her embryo with the power of his Sudarshan. And then Krishna himself entered the womb. And it is so beautifully described that in the dark womb, Parikshit, that was unborn child, he saw, you know, a tiny little Krishna of the size of thumb, and this little baby whose body was also shattered because of the heat. And he saw that such beautiful form of Krishna of the size of the thumb, he completely rejuvenated his body. He, you know, made it correct, made it nice. And that's why this little child who had seen Krishna in the womb, when he came out, he was seeking for that person. That person who saved me in the womb of my mother. Where is that Krishna? Where is that Krishna? Is he that Krishna? Is that the person? Is that the person? So he was asking this question. Inside he was always examining everyone. That's why his name became Parikshit. The one who constantly examining the different persons. And also, Parikshit Maharaj, he liked his own name as Vishnurat. Vishnurat means the one who has been protected by Lord Vishnu. So that's why Parikshit Maharaj is delighting in all these glories. Because these glories are not his glories. These glories are not his forefathers' glories. These glories are actually the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has questions or comments? Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Haribo. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Perfect.